what it is.
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor. And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare. And
I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Hard Factor. It is Monday, December 10th. Our top stories for the day. I'm going to take one about the White House Chiefs of Staff. Pat's going to do one about a former Miss Kentucky who got caught sexting with a teen.
Oh, yeah.
Mark's going to do one about, is Kevin Hart homophobic?
No, he is. He's homophobic.
Oh, okay. Absolutely. Confirmed. Yeah. All right. And Wes is going to take us through a lightning round of other headlines. All right. Let's talk about the White House Chiefs of Staff. So, John Kelly, a four-star general of the Marines, current White House chief of staff, and a guy who permanently looks like he's mad at you for eating the last slice of pizza, will be leaving the White House at the end of the year. The move was announced by President Trump in front of a helicopter on Saturday, with Trump calling Kelly, quote, a great guy, and that his replacement will be more politically focused leading up to the 2020 elections.
Kelly's not the first chief of staff guy for Trump to go, right?
No, the first chief of staff for Trump was Rince Priebus, a guy who looks as weird as his name sounds.
Yeah, it sounds previous. Like a Latin dish.
Sounds like a Game of Thrones character.
yeah, like Littlefinger's like real name in real life.
Yeah,
yeah. Most of the real politicos had pegged Vice President Mike Pence's chief of staff Nick Ayers to be appointed Trump's chief of staff to replace Kelly. Nick Ayers is 36. He would have been one of the youngest White House chiefs of staff ever, and he looks like a camp counselor at a Make America Great Again summer camp, so he really fit the bill. But in a shocking turn of events, he also announced that he will be leaving the White House at the end of the year via Twitter on Sunday. Ayers had apparently been talking to Trump for a long time about replacing Kelly, but with three young triplets at home, he reportedly couldn't commit to Donnie through the end of the 2020 election. And with sperm like that, can you blame Trump for wanting this guy?
Yeah, Will, I think that's more of an egg thing than a sperm thing.
You think Don't knock this guy's sperm, Wes.
Yeah, his wife's got the great eggs.
Yeah, she's got the amazing eggs.
I think he just didn't want he didn't want to take the job because he wants to not be in jail, probably.
Yeah,
he wants to
if you're 36 years old, you're taking that job unless, of course, it comes with a prison sentence that you know about that no one else does.
Yeah, maybe so. I mean, that's what the spin is going one way or the other, but we'll get to that. So now it's back to the drawing board for the White House on who will become their next chiefs of staff, because they need them for both the vice president and the president. Some are saying that Mark Meadows, a representative from North Carolina, could be the front runner, but there's not any solid news at the time of this taping. And like we were just talking about, the spin on the story is going one of two ways. People are either saying it's no big deal and it's just business as usual for the Trump administration, or this is the start of all the rats scurrying off the sinking ship that's about to be grabbed by the giant Russia investigation Kraken. So that's kind of how people are looking at it. So taking it to the internet, Jonathan Rodriguez on Facebook says, and this is talking about Nick Ayers, would you like to be the captain of the Titanic? Nah, I'm good.
Nice. We're pretty sure Jonathan Rodriguez stole that joke, correct?
Yeah, I saw it on like several. Yeah. It was the top comment on like
separate. Or people are stealing his joke, but whoever created that joke, good job.
Yeah, it's nice.
Yeah, one. Alternatively, do you want to fly the Hindenburg?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of variations of that
yeah,
joke.
Yeah, exactly.
Very similar.
Any sinking ship, right? Because that's what people think because the Mueller investigation's tightening that
do you want to drive the first Tesla with autopilot?
Exactly. And Lynn Chudzinski, she's on the opposite side. She says, I am laughing hysterically at all of the trolls who believe that President Trump is guilty of something. I can't wait to see how the media tries to wiggle out of all their ridiculous opinions and speculations. Trump 2020.
Chudzinski, that's like when a guy's last name is something isky and you just like hate him. You're just like, all right, whatever, Chudzinski.
Chudzinski.
You suck, dude.
That is a walking Polish joke of a name.
Yeah.
It really is.
Chudzinski.
All right. Well, look, Ramsey Bethann Beers, she likes three things, guys. She likes playing fiddle, winning beauty pageants, and sending nudes. Name three things more American than that. So why would this fiddle player, former Miss Kentucky, who isn't afraid to Snapchat a little skin, be in trouble? Well, unfortunately, it's because of the nudes. Yeah, I didn't mention Bierce's fourth hobby, which is teaching middle school science, which is a slightly less American thing to do, but still respectable. But it was when her fourth hobby and her third hobby mixed together and she sexted hot nudes to a 15-year-old former student that her perfect world came crashing down.
You got to be careful mixing hobbies. They can oftentimes be completely different worlds, so you don't want to mix your hobbies unless they go together.
That's true. They don't. They don't at all. And apparently the boy's parents have never heard of the code of the street, which is snitches get stitches and wind up in ditches. Because when they found the nude photos sent by the 2014 Miss Kentucky winner on their son's phone, they went ahead and they alerted authorities, according to police. Bierce, who's 28, was a successful pageant contestant winning the Miss Kentucky competition with her killer fiddle skills, and she went on to compete in the Miss America competition. It's pretty amazing. But then it was the Miss America competition where she learned the hard truth about where the state of Kentucky ranks in our great United States. Kentucky holds only one measly Miss America win in its almost 100-year history.
Man.
That's surprising.
Yeah, that's I went to school in Kentucky. There are a lot of hot women in Kentucky. The old saying is beautiful horses and fast women.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, it's a real shame because she probably was sending a lot of nudes to her students. Because, like, she got caught by, like, parents, right? So
Yeah. Parents found the Snapchat nudes and told authorities.
Yeah,
that's bullshit, though. That's bullshit. The fucking son showed someone the fucking photos. No 15-year-old is showing his parents their phone and, like, they're discovering it.
Haven't these kids ever heard of privacy screens?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Yeah, or just keeping it a secret because they probably had a good thing going with this teacher sending nudes to, like, a bunch of kids.
Yeah, this guy screwed it up for everybody. Apparently, she had sent four nudes to this one kid. Anyway, look, after Miss Kentucky, she went on to get married to some poor bastard who undoubtedly bragged to his friends, "I married me a beauty queen," not knowing his marriage would eventually be torn apart by Snapchat and a horny 15-year-old who has advanced beyond his years at fishing for nudes. The couple moved to West Virginia, a state that will sadly never win Miss America. Haven't won one yet. And she took a teaching position at Andrew Jackson Middle School in Cross Lanes, West Virginia. She was charged with four felony counts of disturbing or displaying obscene matter to a minor. Her Twitter's since been deleted.
Middle school?
Yeah. Ooh. Sounds like a very accepting school. Andrew Jackson Middle in Cross Lanes, West Virginia.
Yeah. Hey, real quick, can we talk about Snapchat for a second? Because I thought the point of Snapchat was that you could send pictures that would go away after they were viewed. And, like, if someone took a screen grab, the other person would get a notification. It seems like Snapchat needs a disclaimer, like, not as great for sending nudes as once advertised, or the official social media platform of destroyed careers and marriages.
Yeah, I think the West Virginia version of Snapchat lets you get the snapshot whenever you want.
I thought Snapchat was created and developed for sending nudes.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, that's what it was fucking
That's what
for.
It was originally created for, right? Yeah, I mean, everyone knows that.
I've been cold sending nudes to people that I don't know on Snapchat forever just because that's what I like to do, but I thought that there's no way
how
they
else
can
do
get
you
out.
How else do you test it out?
Exactly. You got to test it out. Anyway, let's take it to the internet real quick. Dakota Dockery says, "I think the big sign past McDonald's was taken down the same day. Dang, what are these women thinking nowadays?" Dakota Dockery obviously lives in the hometown of our former Miss Kentucky and is talking about the sign next to the McDonald's. It says,
next to Andrew Jackson Middle.
Exactly. And then Jordan Lee Ross says, "Time to take down the sign in front of the elementary school." It's like, how many signs did they have in this town claiming the former Miss Kentucky?
Okay. Kevin Hart was going to be this year's Oscars host until some online snitch detectives shed light on what really amounts to a vast amount of social media and stand-up content where Kevin Hart was, we'll go ahead and call it anti-gay. Hart decided to step down as host himself after the internet went all yellow vest protest against him, saying that he does not want to be a distraction for Hollywood's big night. I think what really happened was Hart found out there's a lot of gay people and gay-themed movies at the Academy Awards, and he didn't want to have his asshole within striking distance of so many vile heathens, especially as they were getting drunk at the after parties he would have to attend as host. So
Is Moonlight up again?
Yeah. Call me by your what? I don't think so. So, yo, If my son comes home and tries to play with my daughter's dollhouse, I'm going to break it over his head and say in my voice, "Stop, that's gay." Read a 2011 tweet that Hart recently deleted.
Oh, man.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Some of his other homophobic tweets, just a few of them, there's a lot, where he said someone looked like a gay billboard for AIDS, which that's kind of funny, and called another person a fat-faced fag, which is not as funny. It's a little bit
I've been
more
called
mean.
That. I've been called that before.
Just
you
aggressive.
Have been called that.
The billboard or the face?
The fat face.
It,
okay.
It pissed us off, Wes.
The whole thing? Yeah. Did you get called the whole thing or just the fat face part?
He's been called both, apparently.
Fat-faced, pig-faced fag. Okay.
That's hurtful. As you can tell, Wes remembers it. Hart devoted part of a 2010 stand-up special to describing his terror that his son would turn out to be gay as one of his biggest, if not biggest, fears, and his intention to prevent it however he could by nipping it in the bud when he saw, you know, gay activities going on. So you can
that's
bet
how
you know,
it works.
Yeah, you can bet he's been calling in favors to talk show hosts to come on shows to make an apology. Like the Ellen show, right? That would be a perfect show to do this.
Yeah.
Not quite.
Yeah. No, wrong. He hates Ellen because she's gay. Don't be ridiculous. He's not doing that. Instead of apologizing, in fact, he's sending out tweets and Instagram things, not apologizing. His Twitter quoted Martin Luther King Jr. saying the ultimate measure of a man is not where he stands in moments of comfort and convenience, but where he stands at times of challenge and controversy. Mm. And his Instagram rant with a video of him hungover, like at a vacation home, said, "Our world is becoming beyond crazy, and I'm not going to let the craziness frustrate me. If you don't believe people change, grow, evolve as they get older, then I don't know what to tell you." Why don't you say that you've changed then, Kevin Hart, and say you don't hate gays anymore? It doesn't seem like that's the case.
He so grossly misused that Martin Luther King Jr. tweet. Like, MLK was a man who preached tolerance, not a guess what? Gays are absolutely an underserved people.
He's saying that this is the start of his comeback. He's saying, like, you know, it's not going to hold him down. He's going to prove he's a good man.
I think what he's referencing is the challenge. The easy times are when he was calling everyone fags.
Right. Exactly.
And the challenge is now that he has to deal with it. I think that's what he said.
That's it. Yeah. That is it. Sense. Yeah.
Nick Cannon, the creator of Wild and Out and former Mariah Carey husband, defended Hart over the weekend by reposting old tweets from female comics Amy Schumer, Sarah Silverman, and Chelsea Handler that, similar to Hart, had derogatory gay slurs and terms. Silverman's tweet from 2010 read, "I don't mean this in a hateful way, but the new Bachelorette is a fag." That's pretty hateful. A 2012 tweet from Amy Schumer read, "Enjoy Skyfall, fags. I'm gonna get knee deep in Helen Hunt's new TV show instead." And then Handler's 2010 tweet from said, "This is what a fag bird looks like when he flexes." So,
Jesus, what a little bitch Nick Cannon is.
Yeah.
Those tweets are from people that stand up for the that stand up for LGBT.
Silverman in particular. But
they're satire.
This conversation is getting so ridiculous. People examining old jokes to psychoanalyze performers is such a crock of shit. I mean, like,
I agree
they're even
you.
Doing this with fucking dead people now. Like, I mean, do you get a medal or something if you're, like, the most fucking offended person in America, like, this year? Fuck this shit, man. He's a performer. He fucked up. He said some bad shit back in the day. I think he apologized for it already. He's got to apologize again, or he's got to delete the tweets. I mean, come on.
But, Will, you are a well-known history buff. Doesn't his Martin Luther King tweet offend you as a history buff?
I mean, it's certainly like not in the right I don't think MLK was talking about was using the same like references for his hard times as Kevin Hart is. As Martin pointing out, his hard times are being called out for being a homophobe. It's a little bit different than being persecuted for your skin color. So it's like, you know, I mean, yeah, it's a bad comparison, but at the same time, people being so offended by things that were said years ago needs to fucking end.
And I agree that 95 to 99% of the shit people get upset about is way overblown and is politically correct bullshit, which no one should really care about. But a couple words, times do change, and some things like the R word for people with learning disabilities and the F word, which we've said a few times on the show, those are two examples of good changes that we shouldn't be using those
words. But these tweets were from 2012, right?
Correct. Back in a time where everyone, your boys, you were saying it liberally. It was the Wild West back then, but I do think he should apologize when it is brought up the few times he's had to. The last time is 2015. It's now brought up again. Instead of being an asshole about it, he should probably apologize. I think he's not apologizing because he doesn't like gay people. That's my opinion. Let's take it to the internet.
Maybe so.
Michelle Maduro says, they all do it. They're freaking comedians. It was fine before everyone decided to get butthurt by absolutely everything, which is exactly right.
Yeah, unfortunately, butthurt is a derogatory term towards gay people.
Right, about getting fucked in the ass, yeah. Interesting choice of words, but
she's really backing up Kevin Hart there.
Yeah.
All right, well, that was enlightening. Okay, moving on to some stories we didn't get to cover. Apparently, deepfake, Pat, we covered this story last week, is getting more intense. So intense that a whole country, Nigeria, believes that their president has died and has been replaced by a clone of him. That's right. Nigerian President Muhammadu Buhari, who is battling an unknown illness and disappeared to London for a few months.
To
get cloned. Is apparently dead, and people think that this new guy is a clone, a man named Jibril from Sudan. I don't know. This brings me back to the movie Dave. Ever seen it? It's a classic in which it's a classic in which Kevin Kline plays both the president and a used car salesman who looks exactly like the president who was brought in to portray the dying president for the good of the nation. Kline, of course, goes on to really adopt the role and everyone loves him. Yada, yada, yada.
It's a great movie.
It's amazing. It's an amazing movie. One of my favorites. The 76-year-old Buhari, who, again, has been sick, has said this of the claims, quote, "The ignorant rumors are not surprising. When I was away on medical vacation last year, a lot of people hoped I was dead."
Yeah. He said, "Dave's a movie, a great movie, but a movie."
Yeah. Medical vacation, huh? All right. Hold on to your ears. We now know what wind sounds like on Mars, thanks to the InSight probe / robot / waste of millions that landed on Mars November 26th. That's right. InSight, the robot whose mission was to give us a better understanding of how Mars's interior works, has recorded the sound of wind on the planet. This is amazing. This is scientifically amazing, according to nerds that believe the first sound of wind could be the first indication that there are sounds and weather on the planet that nobody should ever colonize.
Oh, no shit. There's things on the planet?
Yeah. There's sounds there.
We don't know anything about this fucking place.
No, nothing. Don't go there. The winds that were captured are apparently between 10 to 25 miles per hour and sound a whole hell of a lot like regular wind. It's crazy.
Wow.
Can't wait. Yeah. Can't wait for other breakthroughs this thing sends back. Maybe they will tell us it's very cold over there.
What a discovery.
Yeah.
Sandstorms are going to wipe out colonies.
Oh, God. Can you imagine the sandstorms on that planet?
They're colony enders.
Yeah. It's fucking disaster. And finally, a teacher, not a hot one like the one in Kentucky that Pat reported on, is in big trouble after she was recorded cutting a student's hair while belching out the wrong rendition of the national anthem.
Did you say belching? Was she
belching?
Like burping, or was she belting?
Belting.
Okay.
Belching. Belting.
She was doing the Roseanne Barr national anthem.
She might as well have been belching. She's a fucking idiot. The California teacher, Margaret Gazinger, was recorded losing her mind while cutting a student's hair in her classroom, just throwing his hair into the air while other students laughed uncomfortably at what was happening in their class. She then went on to threaten female students with the same bad haircut and song as students fled for their safety. Yeah, she is being charged with numerous accounts, including one count of false imprisonment, two counts of cruelty to a child, two counts of battery, and one count of assault. This little psychotic episode could land her 3.5 years in jail if convicted. I mean, I saw the video. The kid willingly sat down in the chair.
You can't charge this lady. She's having a bad day.
No, he sat down willingly.
Mrs. Gazinger is so nice usually.
Mrs. G, stop. All right, and that's it for Hard Factor. Stay tuned for our live Power Hour with PFT Commenter coming this Friday. It's going to be awesome. Also, we will, of course, be updating you on how much weight we are losing this Wednesday. It's scary and unhealthy, so stay tuned for that. Again, unsubscribe, resubscribe, yada, yada, yada. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great fucking day. We will see you tomorrow.